you support what Jake was saying?
No, absolutely not. I'm completely against what he's saying.
So why were you...
I'm a Muslim. I don't...
And rely on state assistance and welfare programs to feed and house their massive family.
I will say this. There is a Muslim content creator.
He's a Zionist.
Muslims in Sweden destroy an outdoor chessboard.
When Alex Jones posts about Muslims, if not all of his posts are just fake news. Fake and news.
Women have 7 kids on average. One of the fastest growing towns in America.
Called for the tour down there.
He was. He went to the Israel tour. And they do promote a lot of Zionist positions and anti-Islam positions.
Now that he's on Qatar's payroll, they're saying and whatnot. I had everything set up for, I really wanted Dan to visit Bosnia. I had everything set up for the guys.
Yeah, sorry we couldn't make it happen. I was out.
Made himself out like the victim, caused a commotion. And
there's this directed, colluded, intentional attack on either demonizing Muslims. But what's worse about him is, according to Islamic eschatology, in terms of what's going to happen in the end of times,
just a quick update, brothers and sisters. I'm in front of the Dean Center, and the pavers, as you can see, are complete. And the entrance door to the sister section of the masjid is complete. The Friday Jumas have been established here. 5 daily Salat are being established. Thank you all for your reoccurring donations. We still got a lot more work to do, so we're counting on you.
This is the Dean Show.
Greetings of peace. We have an exciting show for you today. Before I introduce my two guests, let's play this video of a Muslim who saved the Quran burner, Liar Lang.
I don't want anybody to get hurt. Nobody. You don't understand. Muslim people, we love this nation. We absolutely love this nation. All right? We might be against the foreign policies that the United States conducts, right? But just like I love my mother and father, if they were to go to war with their neighbors, I would not support that. Doesn't mean that I don't love them fundamentally, intrinsically, all of that. I do not want that to happen.
Do you support what Jake was saying?
No, absolutely not. I'm completely against what he's saying.
So why were you
protecting him? I'm a Muslim. I don't.
Why are you?
Because we have to protect each other. We shouldn't get to this point, guys. I gotta go and help him out. I have to. This guy.
Wow.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Nice to see you, brother. So I have here to my left, I have two of my guests. Suleiman Ahmed has one of the biggest news channels on Elon Musk X. And we have the Muslim attorney from Muslim Legal and peace activist Hassan Shibli.
Ahlan, ahlan.
How are you brothers doing? You.
Great. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Nice to have you brothers here. Nice to see you in person. We've had a program before.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you in person. The video, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple of interesting points. First of all, I think it's great that the Muslim guy helped him. And it just demonstrates the kind of character that one should display when they're in these type of scenarios. Because Jake Lang basically relies on causing as much havoc as possible and then monetizing that havoc or using it for virality in order to basically get the public to see what he's doing. And I interviewed a number of his friends from Jan 6, and largely quite a lot of them said was that what Jake Lang does is, first of all, he's someone who on Jan 6 was one of the more violent people on that day. And many of them believe that the actions that happened to them in terms of the abuse that the State Department did against them was because of people like Jake Lang. Because Jake Lang was somebody who, even he admitted to me on my when I interviewed him, interview/debated him, which was, he said that he used a baseball bat and did use the baseball bat on around 8 Capitol Police members in Washington, D.C. And so what he does is he puts himself in these situations, this is what they told me, in order to basically get virality and then to get fundraising. And so it's kind of like a mode he's been using since Jan 6 over and over again. And you've seen that recently in terms of many of these kind of marches he's been doing, where he's done the marches, he's tried to agitate people and then to fundraise off of those agitations.
That's exactly what he did here. He showed up here at our event. We had a Gratitude to God event, live stream. He made a video, made himself out like the victim, caused a commotion, and he's like, send me some money.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, that's exactly what these people are driven by. So you have to understand that in the current environment that we're in, what is driving people? And I think Suleiman hit the nail on the head. This is about the attention economy. He's trying to get viewers. He's trying to get financial support. He's trying to cause disruption that will give him attention. This isn't driven by a sincere desire to protect America or to bring Americans together. I mean, Jake Lang, I actually messaged him. I said, listen, why don't we come and meet off the record, have conversations, see if you're genuine about protecting American liberty and freedom and values and even Christian values. Let's have a conversation. And he refused. What he'd rather do is create noise, create chaos, create divisiveness, because that's how he gets attention. And attention is how you get money. And this is the truth. Most people are not driven by a sincere desire to protect their country or to serve God. They're driven by their own self-interest and their ego. And I think we need to come and be united against that.
But you actually got a response from him, so much so that you guys had a debate, isn't
yeah,
it? And you
right.
you actually exposed him for being an agent. How did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, basically, in terms of being an agent, I do think that he is someone who is a provocateur. And what I demonstrated in the debate was, because he'd went to the Wailing Wall, he's a Zionist, and his ethnicity is And he went to the Wailing Wall. He you know, did his pilgrimage. And what's interesting is when that was exposed on social media, he tried to make the claim that, look, this was 10 years ago. My grandma pressured me into doing it. It's not really who I am. But then I found a tweet where he posted the tweet on June the 4th, 13th or 14th. And he actually has this video of him on the Wailing Wall on June 14th. This is only 6 months ago. It's during the war between Israel and Iran. The war is between Israel and Iran. It starts on June the 13th. I believe he posted it on either the June the 13th or June the 14th. The United States of America was not involved in that war at that time in terms of from an offensive perspective. And what he said is he wants to join the army. He wants to join the war. He wants America to join the war. And what that demonstrated was that he actually wanted American troops to sacrifice their lives for the foreign nation of Israel. And so his entire claim that he's not Israel first or he's doing it for the United States of America was exposed via that tweet. And so that was one example. Another example is, if you, you will be aware, he went to Dearborn, Michigan with Cam Higby and a few others, Lance Videos and a few other people. Now, what's interesting about that is Cam Higby and that Lance Videos, I believe, but definitely Cam Higby.
Who's Cam Higby? So
Cam Higby is another reporter who kind of went with Jake Lang to Dearborn, Michigan, to agitate Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. He also went, or he was in, I believe, Minneapolis as well.
That's not Nick Shirley, the Mormon missionary.
That's Nick Shirley. Yeah, although Nick Shirley was also someone who went to Israel on his Israel tour, and we can talk about that in a bit as well. But in terms of Cam Higby, he went on the Israeli tour. He went to do propaganda for Israel. He went and lied about the fact that there was aid. He claimed that there was aid coming into Gaza when there wasn't. And so it's what's important or what's interesting is, why is it this individual called Jake Long, who goes to the Wailing Wall, who is very pro-Israel, who wants American troops to go to war for Israel, is also going with Cam Higby to Dearborn, Michigan. Cam Higby is invited to this Israeli propaganda tour in Israel where they're lying about food going into Gaza. And all of these are working and colluding together to go to Dearborn, Michigan in order to demonize Muslims in that community. When that community specifically, when you look at the crime rate, is lower than anywhere else in Michigan. It's low. And so what it demonstrates is it's not about crime. It's not about anything other than the fact that these people are Muslims. And so he's intentionally, in my view, inciting this hatred between Muslims and Christians, or Muslims and Americans, like American Christians, in order to cause division between the two. And the reason for that is, sorry, I'm going a bit long, but let me just explain this, but last point is because, as you know, everyone has seen over the last 3 years, the in real time. People have lost lives, men, women, and children. It's been one of the most horrific things. And the entire world has turned against Israel. And the United States of America, which is Israel's closest ally, has also turned against Israel. The recent polling shows the majority of Americans are against Israel. And for under 30-year-olds, it's almost 75%. And for under 50-year-olds, it's almost 64%. So what that, and that's, and it's a majority of Republicans and majority of Democrats. So what that tells, and so what the Israeli embassy or the Israel realizes is that we need to change the narrative. And so they did polling, and an NGO put together a study where they tried to find out what's the best way to change the sentiment about Israel. And what they found is that actually people are not going to change their mind when it comes to the issue of Palestine. And what the study showed is that the best way to deal with this issue is to make to propagate and promote anti-Muslim propaganda, because that's the easiest way to redirect attention. And so since then, you've seen a massive push on hatred or attacks on Muslims by people like Jake Lang, as you said, by people like Cam Higby. And you look at Dearborn, Michigan, you saw, as you said, Nick Shirley, who went to Minnesota, and then also people like Alex Jones and various others. And there's this directed, colluded, intentional attack on Muslims in order to frame them as the other and then to redirect attention and make people start believing that actually Zionists or Zionists are very similar to Muslims, like both are a problem for us. And they've basically started that narrative, and they've been very successful on it over the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm. You've been to Dearborn, right?
Yep.
And you know who else was at Dearborn? Someone who also felt for the hate propaganda. He's running for governor, Anthony Hudson. Mm. And didn't he, when he went there, he ate with Muslims, sat with Muslims, he was in a mosque, and he said, this is all lies.
Exactly.
And they were kind of, he was on a kind of the same, almost there with Jake, but then he didn't, then he turned his thinking around. He said, he was calling this out. He said, these are lies, but this liar lane continued pressing with the lies. But this other man, he changed his tune.
You hit the nail on the head, because he and Jake were meant to go to Dearborn together.
Together, right?
Right. They were meant to go together. And as you said quite correctly, I believe he's a truck driver. He goes to Dearborn, Michigan. He goes to a number of mosques. They show him a lot of love. He speaks to the community. And he's like, oh my God, this is completely opposite to what I believed. I believe that there was Sharia law happening in Dearborn, Michigan, and it's nothing like that. And so when Jake Lang comes, first of all, he attacks his bus. And in addition to that, he attacks Hudson as well. And he actually calls him a traitor. He calls him a white fraud. And again, he just demonstrated and displayed anti-white hatred. And I'm talking about Jake Lang towards Anthony Hudson. Jake Lang being obviously an Ashkenazi individual.
Mm-hmm. So you've been there to Dearborn. What are your thoughts when you see all of this?
I mean, well, Dearborn's a great community, a lot of good food, mashallah. But you know what's interesting with Jake Lang is I recently saw him purportedly doing a protest on APAC. Was that, have you seen that? And was that Akron? Is he trying to overcompensate? Or what are your thoughts on that?
So that came about because of my debate with him. And he was like, oh, I'm going to go to APAC as well. But if you look at it, first of all, it was propaganda because he didn't push it as hard as the rest. And if you look at what he did, when he went to the Muslim, and I asked him this, I said, are you going to throw bacon at a synagogue? And he started laughing because he knew he wasn't going to do that. Because bacon is impermissible in Judaism as it is impermissible in Islam.
So halal culture, same thing.
Exactly, exactly. The mode of sacrifice is very similar. And so if he's throwing bacon in, in the mosques, or he's bringing the pig's head and putting it in within the Quran, why did he not display the same type of behavior when he went to the APAC conference? Instead, he threw some pennies or whatever, but that's very minor compared to his actions. And he did it in order to show that he's not just against Muslims. But in reality, if you look at his overt impact or his overt effect or what he tried to do, it's very minimal compared to what he did against the Muslim communities.
Let's go back to this video that we just saw. This is a Muslim saving the Quran burner's life. And this is interesting. This Cam Higby.
Yeah.
He says, I will say this, there is a Muslim content creator, I don't know his name, who basically saved Jake Lane's life today. So he's an independent journalist, this guy?
Well, he's a Zionist journalist. So I mean, I give him credit for being honest about that.
I was surprised that he's actually reporting on this. So he said he basically saved Jake Lane's life today. He helped him escape and tried to de-escalate. He recognized me last night at the federal building and didn't alert anyone. In another post, he says, here's the same guy I mentioned earlier using his body to shield Lang. This is just before someone on the ledge kicks him. So what do you, I mean, this is a Muslim now who saved his life. Does he think, I mean, and this is obviously a Muslim practices Islam. You would think the opposite, that the Muslim is going to go ahead and try to kill him and whatnot. But I mean.
And exactly. And what that entire event showed is that actually, obviously there were people who were aggressive. And really what's interesting is normally in protests, this definitely happens in the UK. And I've been told it happens in the United States of America. When you have a protest and you have a counter protest, what happens is the police cordon both off.
Yeah.
And that happens both in protest and in like football games or sports games. And the reason is because when fans get together in football games, in soccer games, or if protesters get together, it does end up being a bit of aggression. So they were aware that Jake Lang was going to do this protest. So there should have been a cordon off. So it's a bit strange that they didn't do that. That being said, you're quite right. I mean, in the event, it was a Muslim guy who saved him in the sense of from further aggression, that he got him out of the situation, he helped him and he supported him. And the same thing, as you know, happened in Bondi as well. If you remember, Bondi was going to be propagandized and they end up being a Muslim guy who end up apprehending the assailant. In addition to that, funny enough, when he escapes Jake Lang, it's actually a transgender person who actually helps him get, he gets into a transgender person's car who also helps him get out of the situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when that person finds out who he is, they threw him out of the car one block later. So it's like ironic that the people he was trying to demonize at that event, whether it was Muslim, whether it was transgender, whomever it was, were the people who helped him get out of the situation. You're quite right.
I want to show you guys his next video. And I want to talk a little bit about Nick Shirley and also the liar Lang. Are they going to have the same enthusiasm to go ahead? Because this Nick is going around just conveniently in Muslim or certain communities and exposing things, but there was also another community that was exposed for some stuff. Let's watch this and see if they're going to be consistent.
While being a student,
God help me.
Does the American taxpayer help you too?
Oh, so yes.
This is Curious Joel, a village of 44,000 Hasidic Jews in upstate New York that primarily speak Yiddish. Women have 7 kids on average. It's one of the fastest growing towns in America, with many men religiously studying the Torah full time and rely on state assistance and welfare programs to feed and house their massive families.
How many kids do you have?
7. 7?
How do people afford to have so many kids here?
They don't afford, we help each other. We open 2 groceries called Maitre. We're giving them 50% discount.
Like, how many kids per family?
10.
Have you seen this viral video that went out?
I watched the documentary.
You think Nick's going to be over there and the liar Lang? They're going to go visit them?
Exactly. And I think you basically highlighted an important thing, that basically they highlighted the fraud that happened in Minnesota. Now, some of those were debunked. But that being said, obviously, there will be some legitimate fraud that occurred. But the specific targeting of the Somali community is because of 2 reasons. They're easy prey. First thing is because they're Muslim. The second thing is because they are black. And therefore, you're able to demonize them very easily amongst the public. And you're quite right. Basically, Tyler Oliveira went to the Hasidic community in New York and demonstrated not only high levels of welfare manipulation, but also on top of that, he said in that specific documentary that for white people to try and get an apartment to rent in that area is not possible. So it definitely is an enclave. It specifically is an enclave based on values, tradition, law. And that just demonstrates the hypocrisy that it's not. And by the way, not only that, none of the people who tweeted out Nick Shirley's video, because it got 112 million views, people like Elon Musk, various others, none of them co-tweeted this video, which demonstrates it's not really about welfare, because if it was, you would tweet both of them. In addition to that, I actually demonstrated myself, separate of this one, in New York, not just the ultra-Orthodox community, but the actual Orthodox community have committed billions upon billions of dollars of fraud, and yet no one has spoken about it. And so once again, what that demonstrates is it's not really about fraud. It's specifically a direct attack on Muslims to demonize them. And so to answer your question, no, Nick Shirley will not be going there. He won't be going to New York. And none of these influencers, whether it's Bill Ackman, Sean Maguire, Elon Musk, and various others, none of them will quote tweet these videos and none of them will highlight it or say it's a problem. The aim is only one reason, propaganda against the Muslim community.
Your thoughts, Hassan?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't engage in fear-mongering and hysteria and hatred against the Muslim community to the exclusion of others without engaging in double standards and taking things out of context. And that's exactly what they do. They selectively apply their outrage to promote fear and hate of Muslims, as Suleiman said, because they realize America is waking up to the influence of Zionists and extremists on American politics. And the only way to shift the conversation away from that is to demonize the Muslim community that is less than 1% of the American population, that doesn't really have effectively any solid political influence in this country. Meanwhile, it's the Zionists that are pumping billions of dollars of American taxpayer money into Israel so that it can teach children at no benefit to this country. And it's very interesting. I mean, you saw the recent post with Miriam Adelson and or when she was asked, you know, how do you, besides spending money, how do you achieve influence in politics? And she refused to answer that question.
Wow.
You know, and then you remember what happened with Epstein, and they still have not released the Epstein files because they're too busy protecting pedophiles, because this is exactly how they garner power and influence in the U.S. in a way that's against the people, the interests of the American people. It's by using their money or blackmailing. and they want to make these psyops of distraction, hate against the Muslim community to distract from that. And it's a clear double standard. Look, in every religious community, you'll have, you know, people that are on welfare, some people that legitimately need it, some people that are taking advantage of the system. You have people that commit crimes. You have people that are good and that are bad. That doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? But the selective outrage is just to further their agenda to distract from the threat that Israeli influence has on America at the expense of the American people.
Besides what we know about this Nick Shirley, I found out he's a Mormon missionary, what I understood,
yeah.
YouTuber, but all of a sudden he's like some top, independent journalist. They're bringing them all out, you know, on the PBD, on this podcast, that one. Like, who is this guy? But you just mentioned something I didn't know, that he was also called for the tour down there.
He went to the Israel tour. He did propaganda again.
This is interesting, huh?
Yeah. Again, it's just, they're all linked, right? He goes to the Israel tour. He does propaganda for Israel. He lies about what's happening.
You know who he's talking about?
No, tell me. Yeah.
Nick Shirley. He's become viral very recently. And you're right, he's a Mormon. And if there's anything, and something we've been highlighting is, if you look at Mormons, they have a huge influence in terms of politically, but in addition to that, because remember, a lot of people within TPUSA are Mormons or connected to Mormons. In addition to that, if you know the history of the Mormons are deeply connected to intelligence, both American intelligence and Israeli intelligence. They have a long history within the CIA, Mossad, and FBI. Now, the early reasons for that was, as the claim was, these people don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do alcohol, they're very strict religiously, and therefore they become the perfect people to be agents because they're not able to be misdirected. But what happens then is, because the Mormon community itself is very much linked to these intelligence agencies. And so someone like Nick Shirley, who, when one listens to him, he is not very articulate. He's been thrust into this position. He goes to the Israel propaganda tour. If you remember, there was a video that came out where he did the same thing in Ukraine, and then someone exposed him, like someone spoke to him and exposed him. He was like given some very vague answers for the reason why he lied about what was happening in Ukraine. So that being said, coming back to it, there is a major issue when it comes to the connection of the Mormon community. And if you know, like, for example, one of the conspiracy theories in relation to Charlie Kirk is that there was some Mormon-Israeli connection in relation to that, because you had basically the shooter, Tyler Robinson, who was a Mormon. You had Lance Twiggs, who was a Mormon. You had the guy, George Zinn, who basically misdirected everybody, who was a Mormon. You had a large number of Mormons involved. And so the Mormon connection is extremely interesting. Nick Shirley being a Mormon is extremely interesting. And then him going to Israel, again, adds to our argument about all of these things. It's almost like a well-rounded situation.
Mm-hmm. That'd be an interesting person. I invited him to come on and talk, because you see him anywhere where Jake the Liar Lang was at, he's there. He was there. He's on the scene. But it's very interesting now if he's going to be consistent and go ahead and show up in New York. And
they never are. They're never consistent. What's also very interesting, you mentioned TPUSA. I was just reading how Ben Shapiro apparently donated $1 million to TPUSA. Did you come across that?
Yeah, he did. I mean, the reason he did that was to buy a seat. So what happened with TPUSA was, for a number of years, Ben Shapiro was never invited to TPUSA events. And the reason for that is Charlie Kirk didn't like Ben Shapiro. So what Ben Shapiro did is, somehow, despite Daily Wire being a loss-making, despite the fact that Daily Wire's viewership being extremely low, they have a lot of funding. I wonder where that funding is coming from. One can just speculate where that could be.
We got to talk about that afterwards, but go ahead.
But that being said, he was able to get this funding. He then paid TPUSA this money and essentially was able to then get a seat at the event, the previous one and this one, in order to speak. And so that's where the funding really comes from. And therefore, he recently donated another $1 million, kind of on the same basis, to get his foothold within TPUSA, because he was someone who was basically shunned from that organization.
Well, and you know, I'm glad we highlighted this, because this is the problem right now with the American Muslim community. And that is that our billionaires and mega millionaires simply are not investing the funds to achieve influence. And we're not talking about doing it in the corrupt way, like the Zionist lobby does. We're talking about the very basic, you know, in that community, you have people like Laura Loomer, Ben Shapiro, others, and they get funding from their billionaires. Meanwhile, on our side, those that are speaking out, those that are pushing the dialogue and the conversation towards peace, justice, human rights, we have to fund ourselves. You know, we don't have any support and funding. And I think until the American Muslim community wakes up and starts investing in protecting justice and liberty and shaping the narrative in a positive, constructive way, as the opposition is, I don't think we have any reason to complain, because they're getting what they pay for. You get what you pay for.
Well, we do the opposite. We basically have to sacrifice in order to basically speak the truth.
Mm-hmm. I want to get your guys' reaction to this. It seems like not only has it been turned up on X, all over social media, you can get into that, but this person here, he seemed like he was reporting on some truths and that, but it seems like you're very familiar with Alex Jones.
Yes.
And I just went back because he's also popping up in my timeline. And Then I just saw this recent post. This is from today. This post and this video, he's retweeting this guy, Tommy. That's not even his real name, right? What's his
Tommy Robinson. Yeah.
What's his real name?
His name is Stephen Alaxi. Yeah.
Yeah, so he said Muslims in Sweden destroy an outdoor chessboard as is considered haram. And then Alex Jones retweets, "I say Islam is haram." Let's watch this video and then get your reaction.
Échec et mat!
Pauvre, je détruis une partie d'échecs.
Échec et mat! Yes! Échec et mat!
What does that do? What kind of precedence is that put out there for the people that Muslims are irrational, they're crazy, they're just, you know, what are your thoughts when you see
this? So this is just a demonstration of who Alex Jones is. Uh-huh. Alex Jones purports to be a reporter. Now, look, when we post the news, I post like hundreds of tweets a day. It is possible you can make an error, right? And what you'll do is delete the error, retract it. When Alex Jones...
What the hell is this?
Yeah, well, when Alex Jones posts about Muslims, I would say 80 to 90%, if not all of his posts, are just fake news propaganda. So that specific video that you're referring to is actually, I believe the person is not even a Muslim. I believe, but what it is a comedy sketch.
It's a comedy sketch.
Yeah, it's a comedy sketch from 2021, I believe. I could get the year wrong.
Wow.
And it's a comedy sketch. It has nothing to do with Islam. It has nothing to do with Islam, Muslims believing that chess is haram or whatever it may be. This is an individual. He's a comedian, a well-known comedian, who is basically doing a comedy sketch. And I believe he's not a Muslim as well, but that one don't quote me on, because I'm not 100%, because I had a quick read of it earlier on today. And so, because I looked it up. So whenever Alex Jones posts something, I look it up because almost all the time it's fake news.
Another
example of fake news. And another, I can give you a number of tweets just from the top of my head of Alex Jones pushing that. And a recent example was when there was a Christmas tree in Egypt. And what happened was the video showed some kids climbing up the tree and taking and throwing the presents off. He said, "Oh my God, Muslims are attacking Christmas trees and this is because they don't like Christmas." And in reality, it was the opposite. What was happening was Egypt was celebrating Christmas more better than anybody else. And part of the tradition within that specific Coptic community is that the children, Christian children who are Egyptian, climb the tree, and the presents that are there, they're able to take the presents for themselves. It's kind of like a reward that they get. And he displayed it as being completely the opposite. So that's another example. Like, I can just give you so many examples. There's a woman who has like mental health issues and she's screaming and he says, "Oh, this is Islam," when in reality it's just a person with mental health issues. When it comes to Alex Jones, we can give example after example after example of either demonizing Muslims, but what's worse about him is it's not just the demonization of Muslims. He's doing it based on actual false videos and fake news. And it's just the same thing linked to the foreign ministry, that this guy gets activated and he basically, again, attacks Islam ferociously and with direction based on, I believe, that people who have directed him to do so. And he's an example of someone who's afraid to basically have a conversation with someone like me, because he'll get exposed in terms of a lot of these propaganda points that he does. And so therefore, he's able to push that. And I do believe that he's been directed to do so.
Have you guys been on the same panel before at all, on any X panels?
I've been on an X panel with him. And ironically, at that time, I'm the one who organized his return back to X in terms of the X space. And so, you know, I helped organize the space. I helped get a lot of the guests, you know, to come on the space to kind of give him almost like a warm welcome back to X. But when I look at the direction that he's gone in, the demonization of the Muslims, and likely...
He wasn't this bad before, right?
He wasn't this bad before. And what's worse about it is, I believe that his caucus, when it comes to Sandy Hook, obviously he lost a billion-dollar lawsuit. And so what happened is his company is almost about to be shut down. And when you're in that situation, in order to continue operating, you're going to have to make a deal or a number of deals with the devils. And I think that's what's happened with him.
How's Dan? You guys have had a lot of panels with Dan Bazarian. You were recently in France and,
yeah, he attended Dubai. He attended my Jumu'ah Khutbah. We went to Dubai last year, not last year, actually, end of 2024. We went to Dubai and Qatar together. It was a self-paid trip. Nobody sponsored us. And then, yeah, when I visited Vegas a couple months back, he attended my Jumu'ah Khutbah. And, you know, I think he's a great example of an American who's willing to sacrifice everything to speak out against injustice and speak out against the Zionist extremist Israeli influence over America, and to speak out against the, and I mean, he's really frustrated and disappointed with the global Muslim community. He's constantly asks, why do you not speak out as a community? Why do your billionaires not speak out? Why do your leaders not speak out? Yes, he sees the people, the masses in the streets speaking out, but the people of power, wealth, influence, he's very disappointed that they are not making the sacrifice that he's making. I mean, I personally saw the tens of millions of dollars in contracts and financial opportunities and situations that he's lost because he's speaking out against the Israeli influence over America. And, you know, I think we have a lot to learn from those examples.
I had everything set up for, I really wanted Dan to visit Bosnia. I had everything set up
for
you guys.
Yeah, sorry we couldn't make it happen. We were hoping we could make it happen. So
I hope if he sees this, he can make a plan. If you guys, something happens again, Bosnia. I really want him. I was telling him about Bosnia. You still haven't been there, right?
You got to go, bro. I'm ready.
You guys are really going to enjoy it. Hopefully Dan comes down. Really, it's the Jerusalem of Europe. There's so much history there in Bosnia. Tell me, you've been on panels, a lot of panels with Dan Bazarian.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's very much on it. I would say like a lot of people end up falling for the propaganda that the Zionists try and perpetuate, because what they try to do is make it black v. white, Muslim versus non-Muslim, what you call it, left wing versus right wing. And the reason for that is because they want the Goyim, they want the Gentiles to fight amongst each other.
Yes.
The working class to fight amongst each other while they rule over everyone. And so he's someone, as an example, who never falls for it. He never falls for the propaganda. He never falls for the PSYOP. And the reason they want to do that is because they want people to fight amongst themselves and then bring in like a mass surveillance state through Palantir, which is again another Zionist company, or to bring in social credit within the United States of America and UK. And so he is someone that I have a huge amount of respect for within the political sphere, who never falls for the propaganda, who always realizes that things are more bigger, things are more holistic, and never ever fall for the trap. So I have a huge amount of respect for Dan Bilzerian. He's always on my panel, and I really appreciate him and respect him a lot.
What are people saying? Because there's the videos that have gone out, seeing him reading the Quran, now that he's on Qatar's payroll, they're saying and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I was the one who helped facilitate that trip, and we all paid for that out of pocket. No one paid for us, and no one paid us to be there. But I mean, again,
you see how things get twisted right away.
Exactly. And I think with Dan, what really struck me is when I first spoke with him, he said, I just want to be a force for good in the world.
I just want to be a force for good in the world.
My life of hedonism didn't bring
happiness.
Didn't bring happiness. I left empty, and I think that's a great example. He's someone who lived the life doing everything that a young secular, materialistic person may dream of, right? The best yachts, the most beautiful women, the private jets, the gambling, the partying, the drugs. And he said, didn't bring me happiness. There's more to life than that.
Can I ask you about that family, or is that...
Which family?
The family that accepted Islam.
Oh, yeah. And mashallah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. One of his close friends, actually. One of his friends from a long time ago. I met him while we were playing paintball at Dan's house in Vegas. And turned out he and his wife both wanted to take shahada. So the next time we visited, they actually took shahada in Dan's house. Alhamdulillah.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, mashallah.
What did Dan say about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, alhamdulillah, he gave us the space and welcomed us to have that ceremony in the house. I mean, look, but Dan's issue with the Muslim community right now is, he says, listen, if you all really believe in your faith and your book, why aren't you willing to make the sacrifice necessary to stand against evil?
Yeah.
Why do 2 billion of you let your brothers and sisters in Gaza get slaughtered and you're unable to do anything about it? So, I think we have a lot of work to do internally as a Muslim community. Those are valid points. And the Prophet ﷺ addressed this, right? He said that the time will come when nations will just cut you up and divide you, as people divide food over the table spread. And they said, will we be few in number? And he said, no, but you'll be many, like the foam on the sea. But the foam on the sea, it's vast, but it has no power, no ability. And they said, why? When? Love of this material world and hatred of death. And so when you love this material world so much, you're not willing to speak out and challenge the power structures. And you see the funding, you see the Adelsons, you see the power and the wealth that is being organized to support this evil. And people realize that if I speak out, I may get demonetized. You know, and I think, you know, Suleiman, don't kill me for saying this, but I know this man and how much sacrifice he's made, right, to speak out against what Israel is doing. I know the tens of millions of dollars that he lost by speaking out, you know, and he, literally him and many people like him have had choices. You could stay quiet and keep making the money you're making. You could switch sides and make 10x that, or you can sacrifice everything just to speak out. And ultimately, you're only willing to speak out like that when you truly believe this world is just a test. This mm-hmm. isn't our real home. Gold and wealth and silver and name and power, it's meaningless. We all have to answer to God. And Gaza is a test, not for the people of Gaza. They've already passed the test, inshallah. Heaven is for them, God willing. Gaza is God's test for all of humanity to see, are we willing to allow, are we willing to stay quiet just to protect our careers and our job and our wealth? Or are we willing to sacrifice everything to speak truth to power, to achieve God's pleasure and make the world better? That's what we're here to do.
Absolutely. Tell me, I was kind of surprised that this conservative podcast news commentator, that he actually allowed a Muslim to come on. And that was you, Tim Pool, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How did that happen and how did it go?
I think it went really well.
These conversations like that need to happen.
It's very important. And I think the reason they end up liking me is because I'm not like this like traditional Dawa bro type. I'm very much politically savvy. Mm-hmm. And so, and I do have a lot of friends within the like right wing circles who disagree with me politically. But like we disagree, right? But we're all humans. We respect all humans. This is what our religion teaches us. Like we have the utmost character. And I try and demonstrate that in terms of the way I act or interact with people. And even though I may vehemently disagree with these people, which I do, I think it's always an important avenue to be able to relay what you believe is the reality of the situation. And Tim Pool is a very huge podcast. And they do promote a lot of Zionist positions and anti-Islam positions. And therefore, when one is given an opportunity to do so, you need to basically take that opportunity. So yeah, I went on a couple of episodes on that. The first episode was essentially a debate, and it was whether Islam is compatible with the West. Now, a lot of people kind of deal with this issue and they'll try and dunk on other religions or whatever it may be. But my perspective on this is very simple. When it comes to Islam, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to Judaism, the reality is this. All of those religions have conservative positions. All of those positions have disagreements with a number of liberal woke positions. And also, when you look at Islam itself, there's no single issue that you will find in Islam that isn't more stricter, more harsher, and more punishable in the other religions. And I say that to say this, as an example, the two main issues kind of in this liberal society they talk about is homosexuality and feminism. And if, of course, it is a, those things are a sin in Islam and also not permissible. That being said, there is no doubt that when you look at both of those issues and any other issue, you'll always find it a lot more stricter in those other two religions. And so therefore, when they say Islams are compatible, and this is what my point in that debate was, in which aspect is it not compatible? Because, and then whenever they come up with those issues or they come up with Sharia law, you always find that it's actually not the case. So, for example, let's take Sharia law, which is one of the points they always make. Like, they want to bring Sharia law into the country. I want to ask them, what do you mean by they want to bring Sharia law into the country? Because there's certain aspects of Sharia law, for example, fasting, giving charity, praying, which is just an internal issue. It's not a Sharia law in terms of a government legalistic issue. So what aspects of Sharia law are coming into the United States of America or the UK? And they're never able to explain it. They're like, they're going to take over. Now, the problem with that is first of all, one aspect we've already dealt with, which is these enclaves. There's already enclaves of other religions and there's no issue. But that being said, separate to that, in the United States of America, the Constitution reigns supreme over any other religious law. And that's either it's halakha law of the Jews, whether it's Sharia law of the Muslims, or even Christian law of Christians. It's the Constitution that reigns supreme. But in the entire history of the United States of America, there's never, ever been a situation where something, a judgment that's made, whether it's in a small little Sharia council, Because Sharia Council is almost like a council where they'll try and do, you know, try and do mediation of marriage situations, but that never supersedes the law of the country. They have the exact same thing in the United States and in the United Kingdom.
Same thing.
But you know what's interesting? There has been one situation where the law of a religion has superseded the law of the country. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that was?
That was from the Judaism.
It was. It was a case called a victim versus a victim.
I heard of that, yeah.
And it was when Jewish law had superseded basically American law. But that's never, ever happened in terms of Sharia law and remained as a judgment. And so this entire notion that's created is actually propaganda. And all we ask for, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jewish man, whether you're black, brown, white, or yellow, whomever you are, all we ask for is equality. We ask for consistency. And I think that's an important notion. For example, you saw in the news, I'm trying to just bring it into the situation. You saw in the news today where basically what happened was Don Lemon, who is a very well-known left-wing liberal commentator in terms of this entire ICE protest that were going on, he basically went into a Christian church and almost and disrupted it. And he went in to basically attack a Christian pastor. His argument is the Christian pastor was aiding ICE. Whatever that person was doing, that's not the right situation to do it. It is Christians who are worshiping in the church, and you need to respect that. This is what we believe as Muslims, right? But what's interesting is now the government has come out and said that they want to deploy the KKK Act, which is that you're not able to disrupt basically a religious ceremony or a religious proceeding or someone who's basically worshiping, which we agree with. But I find it ironic that somebody, as you mentioned, like Jake Lang or various others, not just him, there's been many incidences where recently over the last 2 months, someone's tried to go into a mosque and demonize a Muslim, or a Muslim's tried to pray and you've tried to abuse them. And so if you're going to deploy the act, then it should be deployed consistently, where even if someone's praying as a Muslim or Christian, they're able to pray without being demonized, without being harassed, and they're able to worship in the manner that they worship. So we agree with their position. I just find the lack of consistency abhorrent.
Are they going to have that same now act, like you just said, being consistent in the Muslim community? Imagine kids are coming out, they're seeing a decapitated pig's head. Exactly. They're in Epic City, and he's over here with all these guys who are just cursing, you know, slandering Prophet Muhammad and doing all sorts of disrupting the peace. And does this apply, this kind of same act now for Muslims?
Yeah, if he's disrupting a mosque.
Because that's a mosque. They're in front of a mosque.
Yeah, if he's going into a mosque and disrupting a mosque, it definitely should apply if they applied it consistently. And that's all we're saying.
Yeah.
We're saying we believe all human is equal. We don't believe in and Gentile. We don't believe in any form of supremacy, whether it's supremacy, whether it's Muslim supremacy, whether it's Christian supremacy. We don't believe in any of that. We believe in equality of all men. So we're just asking for, and I believe fairly, that we believe in civil rights, in equality of law amongst all men.
I want to touch upon this for a second, because when we say Sharia, people like freak out. You got the Ten Commandments, Sharia, right?
Yeah.
In the Arabic Bible, over 200 times, it's mentioned God's law. It's basically the divine law. You have, like you just mentioned, you have, what is it called? Halakha. This is the, and I just have rabbis on the program. I said, you guys got your Sharia. I said, yeah, we got Sharia. They don't call it that, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Much stricter than Sharia.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You had the canon laws from Christianity. They had their version, but now, and we're implementing it every day. If you're scared of it, it's already here. And you mentioned some things, like prayer, fasting, taking care of, you know, that our parents don't go into old folks' home, respecting them, honoring them. These are all forms that actually, when you unpackage it, they would actually agree with it. That's the ironic thing. When you unpackage many of these values that we have, they would say, you know what, we're more in line with this. When they say, oh, they're not in line with our way of life. Like what? Like OnlyFans? Like what are you talking about? The 1,001 genders? What's that way of life? I mean, yeah, we would be against that. But in essence, when you break it down, family values, staying away from anything that hurts the mind, the body, oppressing anybody, all of these things are divine law. What are your thoughts when you hear this thrown out there? Sharia's coming, taking over. What do you think? I mean, and from a legal perspective. Well, I mean,
right, right. So again, we know who's funding. Literally, there's funding and money behind the hysteria being promoted against the Muslim community, which we spoke about earlier. And that's one of the tactics that they use. They misrepresent. Sharia means the path to water, the path to the spring. Maqasid al-Sharia, the foundation of Sharia, seeks to protect five things that every American cherishes, which is life, religion, honor, intellect, wealth. That's what the U.S. Constitution seeks to protect. And there is nothing in Sharia that forces us to go against the federal law. There's nothing in federal law that forces us to go against Sharia. This idea that our private religious practices are some sort of threat is, again, it's nonsense being promoted to achieve political ends.
But you could say the same thing is Islam, that when you reframe it and you say, is Islam compatible with the West, is actual Judaism compatible with the West? Is actual Christianity compatible? Not the liberalized version now that people are living. Can't you
And that's what's interesting, because like I'm a big believer that America was founded by white Anglo-Saxon Christian men. And yet Christianity was never formed as part of the Constitution. And if you look at, for example, in that debate I did with Tim Pool, he immediately conceded. He was like, forget the theology. Uh-huh. Forget what actually Islam says, because obviously Islam is more lenient, actually. Islam is more compatible. Let's just look at the actions of certain Muslims. And that's kind of, they already concede that. In every single debate I've been in, they automatically concede that Islam is actually the most, the least violent, the least aggressive, and the least harshest religion. And so, like, I gave a few examples of that. The other one being, for example, inheritance. In Islam, a woman gets one share. In Judaism, she gets zero. Mm-hmm. In Islam, for example, the biggest narrator of hadith was the wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Aisha, right? In Judaism, a woman isn't allowed to even be a teacher. And so there is no instance, and I'm very confident about this, there is no instance where you will find something in Islam that, as an example, and with Islam, I think these positions are logical, and I can explain the logical reason for why we have these positions. They are rational. But that being said, you will never find any of these positions that are not more harsher in Judaism and or Christianity. And I think that's the important notion. So when they say, and you said quite right, when they say Sharia has taken over, what aspects of Sharia? Because as you said, a lot of these things are internal. When you talk about these other issues, actually, you'll find them much harsher in Judaism and Christianity. And none of them, as you said, would supersede, well, except for Judaism once, but none of them should supersede the Constitution, which they don't.
And you're not going to see anything derogatory, anything defaming or insulting about Jesus himself, his mother, like you say, in a Judeo-Christian. This is a fabricated term. This is just, you know, it doesn't exist. But you will not see, I mean, many Christians, when you talk to them, they don't know this love and reverence that we have for Jesus, peace be upon him. But their bestie over here, you know, that conversation is going to get really awkward, Ben Shapiro, and you start like, you know, you're promoting him. But then when you get down to the nitty and gritty, what do you believe about Jesus? What's he really going to say if he's not compromising his religion?
Exactly. What Ben Shapiro himself said on the Joe Rogan podcast, he said he said that Jesus is a rebel. And rebels get what they deserve.
Wow.
In Judaism, obviously, in the Talmud, they believe that Jesus is burning in his own excrement. But in Islam, as you mentioned quite accurately, they have a huge amount. Muslims believe that Jesus was divinely inspired by God. Muslims believe that Mary is pure. And this is very unique, because it was Islam that came about and actually try to push back against these kind of negative stereotypes and this negative agenda against Mary. And if you know, if people have read history, the history of the Prophet, peace be upon him, the pagans were abusing them. The pagans were trying to harm them. The pagans were trying to kill the Muslims. And the Muslims had to leave Mecca. And when they left Mecca, they end up in Abyssinia, which was the land of the Christians. And the Christian king said, what is this religion? What do you guys believe? And there was a surah within the Quran, which is specifically dedicated to the mother of Jesus, Mary. And when the Christian king read that surah, he was shook, and it impacted him spiritually to the extent where he was willing to harm his alliance in order to protect the Muslims. And if he hadn't protected the Muslims at that time, they may have ceased to exist. And it was the Christian king that did so. And he did so based on the Muslim belief about Jesus and Mary.
What has been your experience, I think, with this topic right here? Because I think I shared one of your videos. You were talking about Jesus or something, and I shared it. It was exactly on this. And so many people watched this. They really liked what you were saying. What are your thoughts when you talk to someone like, let's say, I just use him as an example, Dan or anyone else? You know, most people, in my experience, they have no clue about this, the love and reverence. Do you remember that video I shared? You were talking about the Muslims believing in Jesus, all the prophets, and the simple message of Islam. I don't know right. if you were at the Kaaba. Or...
Yeah. I think I remember that. But I mean, look, I think our job in America to push back against the hatred is so easy because people are so misinformed. And Islam is so pure and simple, right? The message is simple. All in creation has one Lord, one God. And Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them, were messengers of that God, of the one God. And they all worshiped God, and they all told us to worship God. And they told us, if you want to be close to the Creator, honor the creation. It's a universal message. And the Quran in particular has chapter 19. Mary speaks of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And we believe that he will return to earth, and he will establish justice on earth. However, we don't worship him just as we don't worship Muhammad. We worship the Creator alone. So it's a very simple, basic message. And when people hear it, it resonates with them, you know. And I think our job is just to continue to build stronger relations and let people see firsthand the honor and the love we have for Jesus. And truly, we are more followers. We are more so following the message of Jesus than many Christians today, because unfortunately, many have taken the path of Paul, who corrupted the message of Jesus. And then as it got mixed with the Nicene Council and the Roman Empire, that mixed in a lot of pagan beliefs to take people away from the pure message of Jesus. So my message for my fellow Christians is, let us unite in following the path of Jesus, mm-hmm. who taught to honor God and honor our neighbors.
People kind of flip out when I say, or they're really surprised when I say, we're actually more Christian than the Christian. And you can even more conservative than the conservative, in the sense that, you know, as Muslims, we pray like Jesus. In Matthew 26:39, it says, and he fell on his face and prayed to God. That's how Muslims pray. We worship the God that Jesus worships when we see each other. Assalamu alaikum, shalamu alaikum. This is in the Bible. Fast like Jesus, beard like Jesus. It's the same because he was following submission, like in the Lord's Prayer. O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done is Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. So, and that's what we believe Jesus was, a Muslim. Tell me, did anything shift after you spent a little time with Tim Pool, conservative? He's Christian, right?
I'm not sure if he's a Christian.
Yeah. But many of these people who call themselves conservative Christians, how can you be a conservative Christian and now you're trying to spread good values, right? And that's the main message of Islam, pure monotheism, and living a morally upright life. How are you? And I can understand if someone, it's room for everyone to change. But when you invite someone to the TPS, what is it, the Turning Point USA, and nothing's really changed with their songs, the message they're sending, and now you're making it like a clown show. Where is everything going? What direction is it turning when you bring Nicki Minaj on? I mean, what has it become? Like WWE, what is it? What direction are you going? But you're conservative Christians. You stand for some values. But now you're pushing the Nicki Minaj's. Your daughters are going to be listening to her. And have you read some of the lyrics? I don't listen. You read some of the lyrics? It's, just read it. You cannot even read them on air.
And I think it shows where the kind of where the movement or the conservative movement has gone in the United States of America. And I do believe it's done intentionally by those in power. I do believe the Zionists control the media, and they do control Hollywood, and they do control the music industry. And a lot of this is, as you said, to cause degeneracy within society, to cause degeneracy in the culture. And so, as you said, if you have people who are relaying the lyrics that you mentioned, or you have pornography that is being pushed by both sides, or you have extreme radical feminism that is being pushed by both sides, that is causing the collapse of the entire society. It's why you see, for example, in Europe, complete collapse of Christianity. In the United Kingdom, the country I'm from, it went from 75% Christian to 45% Christian, 30% drop in 10 years. That 30% drop, where did it go? Atheism increased by 25% in the United Kingdom. So they basically, all of them end up losing their religion because the religion has become diluted by this propaganda that has been propagated by these people. And I think that's a good segue into this whole point about the control of the media that these people have, the harm that they have after October the 7th. You know, many of us had to make a decision that, do we want to speak the truth or do we want to continue in our comfortable lives? And obviously, Hassan mentioned that, obviously, I made the sacrifice to speak out against what was happening. And it wasn't easy. Like, you get a lot of hate. you lose a lot of money, you get a lot of hatred, but you have to speak the truth. And I think when I look at the last few years, of course, we lost a huge amount of money, we lost a huge amount of support, but the impact that we had was significant. And so if you look at, and I just want to bring this kind of topic into the conversation, is when October the 7th happened, you know, there was a lot of lies that were propagated about the events of that day. There was a lot of propaganda that was pushed. And we had to be at the forefront to push back against it. And so if you like the lies about the 40 beheaded babies, which we were instrumental in debunking, and actually we demonstrated that it was that lie had been pushed by I-24 News. I-24 News was a propaganda channel for Netanyahu. It was a mouthpiece for Netanyahu. That lie was pushed by Nicole Zedek, which is another Zionist person in Israel. And many people don't know this, but that specific lie that was pushed into the mainstream media in the United States, in the United Kingdom, it was done by a paper called The Business Insider. The two reporters one of them was a American, the other one was a British person. And again, they helped push that into the media. So that's what happened with that. And then you look at the lies about the mass grave. You look at the lies about events in October the 7th, which was basically the resistance going into Israel to get hostages, to get military hostages, to swap them for Palestinian men, women, and children that are being held in Israel without a trial, who are hostages. And so when you look at a lot of these lies that were told, of course, we did push back against it. We did expose it. But it wasn't easy because we were going against the mass media machine. We're going against the entire mainstream media and social media. And if you look at it, Twitter and TikTok were instrumental in giving us and others a platform to be able to demonstrate a lot of the lies and propaganda that is happening. And now if you see it, there's kind of been a bit of a shift in that intentionally.
Hassan?
Yes?
What are your thoughts? What I said, what I'm talking about, being more Christian than the Christian?
Right, right.
Is that a fair statement?
The idea.
Because Christian is one who is Christ-like.
Right, right.
So, and then more conservative, you know, you're talking about, because what is it about? It's about God. Family.
In high school, I was voted most likely to look like Jesus, peace be upon him. But of course, I mean, look, a Muslim just simply means one.
Because you're from the same
land. We're from the same land, right? Yeah, and got the beard too. But look, a Muslim means one who
surrenders. That's when he returns, Damascus, right?
Damascus, he returns to Damascus. But it just means one who surrenders to God. And Islam means peace through surrender to God. And all the prophets of God taught peace and surrender to God. And they all surrender to God, so they're all Muslim. The problem is people made religion into an identity and an ego. Let's shed that. We came from God. We're going to return to God. God is with us at all times. And if you want to honor God, honor his creation and honor and love all of the messengers that call towards God. And so that's our path. And I think the more our Christian brothers and sisters learn that about us and see that in practice, the more unity and strength we will build.
You just reminded me when you mentioned Damascus and the return of Jesus. Well, according to Islamic eschatology, in terms of what's going to happen in the end of times, that within our narrations, there is this belief that there's going to be an alliance between the Muslims and the Christians against a third people. Now, many people speculate, who could that be? People thought it could be China. People thought it could be Russia. It could be a third entity as well. It could be the Zionists. It could be whoever. But there definitely is this belief that there is going to be an alliance between the Muslims and the Christians, and they're going to fight some very powerful third entity. I say that to basically demonstrate the difference in Islamic eschatology compared to, for example, the eschatology of Ashkenazi. There's an eschatology within Ashkenazi who say that during the end of times, according to their eschatology, what will happen is when the Messiah returns, what will happen is there will be two groups of people. There will be the group of people who were nice to the Jews, and he actually meant the Muslims at that time. And there'll be the other group of people who were mean to the Jews, and in fact, he means the Christians. The Muslims, because they were nice to the Jews, they will get the reward of being the slaves of the Jews during the end of times because they were nice to them. But the Christians who were mean to them, they will be eradicated and basically eradicated from the earth. And so that's the difference between eschatology or Ashkenazi eschatology compared to Islamic eschatology.
What's the latest with the Third Temple, the Red Heifers? That was a big thing for a little bit. They were setting dates. What's happening? Do you know anything about the latest?
I mean, look, there's a guy who I believe is a very dishonest person, and I don't trust his claims or what he says. But that being said, he makes the claim, this guy called Adam King, he makes the claim that they did sacrifice the Red Heifer in Jerusalem, and actually it was successful, and they've now got the ashes of that red heifer, and therefore they're moving towards the end of times. And that's his claim. I mean, I don't trust anything he says, but it's just worth noting that that's what his claim was.
Are you familiar with the red heifers and everything?
Yeah,
unbelievable. So tell me, before we conclude, tell me, have you seen, you go on X, I don't know how it is, also you got Facebook and other social media, and then you'll see these first, like, seem like they're bots. You see names, Adam, 657, blah, 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 right? A ton of these. You'll see a lot of hate towards Islam. Is this organic, or is this something that's being pushed?
It's inorganic, and it's being pushed, and it's being pushed from two different avenues. So the first avenue is this. So I mentioned about October the 7th. What happened was, because of the impact that people like us had, they got exposed. The Zionists got exposed. Their lies got exposed. Their propaganda exposed. The two main avenues that was done on was TikTok and X. Already, for example, Mark Zuckerberg is a Zionist guy. So if you look at Instagram, they already control that. If you look at YouTube, they already control that, Google Corporation. But those two were the main avenues. And so Jonathan Greenblatt, who is the head of the ADL, who's a left-wing Zionist, and this is how the left wing and the right wing come together, right? And therefore, when it comes to them, they shed these bubbles of left wing and right wing when the time comes. So Jonathan Greenblatt, he said in two important points. He said, we have a generational problem. We have a TikTok problem, which means that people were hearing the news on TikTok and were becoming anti-Israel and becoming aware of their propaganda. Furthermore, he said that there is an eighth war, or the eighth front, and the eighth front is social media. And we need to take control of TikTok. And so what you saw was someone like Jonathan Greenblatt, who's a left-wing Zionist, working with Larry Ellison, a right-wing Zionist. And what they did was they bought TikTok. So they made sure that TikTok was taken out of the control over ByteDance, and they bought TikTok. So now Larry Ellison, who is the biggest funder of the IDF, has bought TikTok. He also bought CBS News. He bought Barry Weiss, who essentially, her entire career has been attacks on Muslims and Palestinians. She's well known for basically getting a number of Palestinian professors fired from university. And also many believe that she is kind of like Israeli intelligence. But without a shadow of a doubt, what she is a mouthpiece for the Israeli regime. And her Free Press, who has very low viewership, was bought for $150 million by Larry Ellison, and now she's become the director of CBS News. And if you look at a lot of the tensions that are being relayed by CBS News. Bringing that back to TikTok. So now they have control of TikTok. They have control of the algorithm within TikTok. And with the X, they did the same thing with Elon Musk. They pressured him. They basically did an advertiser boycott. If you remember very early on, Elon Musk, he just replied to me. Whenever they would say, oh, guess what? This is what Palestinians believe. I'd say, oh, Elon, look, this is what Israelis believe. And he replied to me many times and, oh, both are bad. Or for example, he said that if you kill people in Palestine, what will happen is they'll become Hamas members. And so by the claims that you're taking out Hamas, you end up creating more members. And they were not happy with both of those comments, both of those things, as well as he mentioned about how migration were basically, people were basically the reason for migration into the West as well. Because they weren't happy with that, they made him go to Israel and look at what happened in October the 7th. And they made him go on an Auschwitz tour. And they made him go on an X space with Ben Shapiro and a number of rabbis. And those were like his humiliation rituals. But what happened is then you saw him change the algorithm. So as an example, my account was the most viral account from October 2023 till around 2025. And the reason was because the people were with Palestine. And so you saw a major algorithm shift in that regard. So that was the first thing. The second thing was Israel realized that they failed on October 7th because the world was with Palestine. They always relied on basically a number of influencers who were Zionist, who would push their agenda, whether it's through social media or mainstream media. And you never really had much push from the other side. But the sheer volume of people who were, and even me, when I made the decision on October 7th, and I thought, look, I need to give away this huge contract I've got, and I need to speak the truth. And when I made that decision to stand for the Palestinians, and I was the first to do so, I thought that, okay, I'm doing it. There's a couple of risks. One is that I'm going to end up, I might lose my account. Obviously, I'm going to lose the money. But in addition to that, I actually didn't expect so many people to be pro-Palestine. That was a bit of a shock for me because in the past, whenever one posted something about Palestine, you got a lot of hate and you never really got much pushback on the other way. So I believe they didn't expect it. And so that's what you saw, the sheer volume of it. They've obviously been able to recalibrate and realign. So the second thing they've done is, two other things they've done is pay influencers. So a lot of influencers, you see the $7,000 a post. Also, I'm aware that people are being paid $30,000, $40,000 a month.
Wow.
With accounts that are a fraction of my size of account, are bigger than me, they're getting much more money than that. So they're paying influencers, not through these, through these campaigns, because they used to have campaigns through Prager University and Influencables where they'd say, this is the campaign, push this, and we'll pay you a certain amount of money. So they use them, or they've always had that, but now they've got that, influencers. And the last thing is what you quite accurately said is, the algorithm change. And the last thing is the bots. So they've got a massive bot campaign that kind of pushes their propaganda. And they've been able to introduce that through a lot of money through the Israeli government. So you're seeing all of that happening on X in real time and TikTok. And that's why you've seen this massive shift in narrative towards pro-Israel content and anti-Islam content.
I want to quote this professor, and I want to get your guys a few comments on this. David Warnstein, he's an academic professor, and he said, Islam saved the Jewish people. Because we've talked about Zionism, people, and so people don't get some wrong ideas, come to some wrong conclusions. What do you think now? Have you guys been labeled any certain terms because you're talking about this topic? And what does Islam teach you actually about? Does it teach us to hate a certain people because they're a certain religion? Just to hate all outright?
No, not at all. And actually, yeah, I've been labeled anti-Semite. The Israelis put my name on a missile as a threat and to kill Palestinians. But that being said, no, Islam, we don't believe that. We believe in equality of all men. And if you look through Islamic history, it was the Muslims and who used to protect the Jews.
Bingo.
Even Rabbi Shmuley, actually admits that it was Muslims who protected people. Actually, and this is the irony. Whenever they say this is kind of like your third world problem or this is a Middle Eastern problem, it's hilarious because in reality, if you look at the entire history or for the last 2,000 years up until 1945, which is when this fake term of Judeo-Christian came about, it was actually the Jews and the Christians who had issues. The Christians threw the Jews out of more than 109 countries, more than 1,000 times.
Who did? The Muslims?
No, the Christians.
Not the Muslims.
Not the Muslims. No, no. Yeah. The Muslims.
They actually fled then to Muslim countries.
Exactly.
Right?
They were with it was the Muslims who were on the same side in the Crusades, as an example. And so when you look at the entirety of history, it was always Muslims who basically protected the Jews. And they actually, you know, because they were always the oppressed class. What's happened is actually, and I think this is kind of the irony, that once the Jewish people came into the position of power, or Zionists came into the position of power, they then didn't kind of give the Muslims the same level of benefits and support that the Muslims had given them throughout the history. And it's without a shadow of a doubt that there are certain specific points in history that would have ceased to exist if it had not been for the protection and support of Muslims in, for example, various different lands.
That's why I open up with the professor. If I said it's one thing, but you got academics, Islam saved the jury. What do you think on this?
Yeah, I mean, Abba Iban said were treated justly twice, once in the U.S. and the other time under Islamic rule. You know, there's no doubt that there's no civilization that allowed both Muslims, both Christians and Jews, minorities, to live under peace and justice than the Muslim community. Under Muslim rule, the Jews would have, in fact, their own legal courts and their own systems, and they would answer to judges, and so would the Christians. Again, Islam came to honor the people of the book, that listen, you are a people who received a book and a prophet and revelation before us from the same God, and we cannot honor the creator if we dishonor the creation. The reality is, though, they've never treated us even a fraction as good as we've treated them under the Islamic civilization.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you for being with us. People can find your news and commentary and everything on X. Oh, you're also on X?
Yes, on X and Muslim Instagram, Legal. And then MuslimLegal.com. Check us out if you need trustworthy Muslim lawyers.
I'm on X, and also I'm on YouTube. I've been posting a lot of geopolitical information, news I stream daily, and also videos daily from a geopolitical perspective. That's kind of more my expertise. So you can find me on YouTube, which is Suleiman Ahmed X.
Thank you, brothers.
Excellent. Thank you, brothers.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
We are the International Open University. IOU has established itself as a leading online Islamic university. We offer a range of programs from a wide number of disciplines at various degree levels, including certificates, bachelor's, and master's, and be led by its founder, Dr. Bilal Phillips. Let us guide you to continue your amazing journey of knowledge and excellence. Register today and enjoy a 10% discount when you enroll early. Learn more at our website.